back here Friday morning, KTTH. Brian Suits here. I've moved back to the area, so I'm being a nice guy, helping out a friend in need. I'm in the zip code, so that's why I'm sitting here today and tomorrow and the rest of the week. Well, we're and the reason being is because I'm getting fitted for a suit to be a new host on CNN because they're fresh out of Cuomo's now. So if you miss the news over the weekend. Of course, you know, everyone who's not CNN reported it as news. And look who's talking about it right now. KTTH's very own Jason Rance is on Fox. Can we dip in? Okay, he looks like he's making a great point, frankly. I think he's making a great point. Anyway, turn his radio station off and turn on Fox right now. No, don't. Well, I'll find out what he's talking about. But we're actually on this subject, identical times, about Chris Cuomo. So he was suspended last week because he's supposed to be a journalist. They advertise that he's a journalist. And what he did was, not journalism, because he was probing through his network of other journalists to find out what vulnerabilities his older brother had when the looming sexual harassment scandal was happening. Earlier COVID 2020. So his brother lasted until, I think what, early this year. Yeah. And remember in early 2020, Andrew Cuomo was being touted as, oh my God, we're not really going to run Biden. When you have Andrew Cuomo, who's just absolutely leading the way, following the science, flattening curves left and right. Hospital ship in New York. He's doing it right. What they weren't reporting was that meanwhile he was busy killing grandma, but never mind killing grandmas. Thousands of old people by putting recovering COVID patients in long term care facilities, which was a death sentence for people over 75. Never mind that. He was violating the Me Too guidelines, and he had been doing it throughout his career. It's just that. Apparently, it was tolerated until it wasn't good for your career or something. You shouldn't be tolerating it ever, and you shouldn't be doing it ever. But he did it, and he got away with it forever until he didn't get away with it. And then he just said, hey, I'm Italian. Look, I know loads of Italians. They don't walk up and grab people's boobs, man or woman. Well, sometimes men. So anyway... His younger brother, who some call Fredo, because he's the stupid younger, his stupid older brother of Michael Corleone. Remember, that's the whole point, Brady, is that Mike is his baby brother. Fredo's the older brother. He's not dumb, like everyone says. He's smart. But in this case, Chris is both younger and dumb. And so he used his position and his network to find out, well, how are they going to get my brother and the whole thing? So they suspended him because that's frankly embarrassing for any journalistic endeavor. Then what you're not hearing, unless you're paying attention over the weekend and you're given a pass for not doing so, because look, I barely do too. Turns out Chris is just one hand grab off the old Cuomo tree. That there are sexual harassment notifications now being delivered to CNN corporate about Chris Cuomo. So this is where CNN got your attention by suspending him. And you're thinking, well, that's just a de facto firing anyway. And then Brian Stelter, who is a potato, it's been scientifically proven that he's a eunuch potato. He floated out that Chris Cuomo would be back by January or something. Well, not anymore. Without ceremony, I don't know what ceremony they would have, except maybe do a Zoom call or something and say, Chris, I've had to fire people before and I cried. I hope I can keep it together on this one. So anyway, they announced he's terminated. They fired him yesterday and that's done. That's a done deal. He's gone. So I don't know where you go from. I'm out of F's. I don't care where they go. I don't know that Andrew Cuomo is not politically viable. That he can't be rehabbed. Remember, they rehabbed Anthony Weiner. He went to a rehab apparently there's a rehab for exposing yourself on the internet. Well, if there is, he went to it. Anthony Weiner went to that, and then he violated that again. So maybe Andrew Cuomo can go to that. Maybe that he's there now. Maybe that's why he's incommunicado. But believe me, there is not a politician that base loves that can't be rehabbed, that can't be answered with, well, that's the way they did it. And so they'll be rehabbed. They'll be washed, scrubbed, and rehabbed. And then that's the great inoculation. I'm here. Again, here's a political party that backed a guy to be a presidential candidate. He wasn't the candidate, though. Here's a guy who drove a campaign worker off a bridge and then swam away and let her drown. And that guy was called the Lion of the Senate because he was a Kennedy. So the Cuomos are the Kennedys that know how to cook pasta, apparently. But we'll see. Because nobody, it'll take years, 2 or 3 years for Chris Cuomo to ever be on TV again. But he'll have to have that diploma from rehab. His brother, same deal. But here's the other thing. CNN couldn't keep him on. Because anyone who's not NBC is going to go really heavy in December and January on slave labor, totalitarian government, President Xi's ambitions to invade Taiwan, his new common prosperity wealth seizure policy, where he's basically saying, "Hey, we've been capitalists since 1989." Joke's over. Music stopped. Give me billions and billions and billions of your personal wealth, which is what he did to Jack Ma from Alibaba and a whole bunch of others. They're going to be going heavy on China, pointing a finger at NBC. And why would that be? Well, because NBC is about to make a bunch of built-in money. I mean, the money's baked into the Olympics. That's why NBC Universal threw a S-ton more money than CBS, and anyone who else who bid it on it, NBC made sure they got it because it is a license to print money. If you've ever been to the Olympics, Coca-Cola owns the Olympics. Whoever broadcasts the Olympics gets that money. So it is a cash cow. And then you make a deal with the devil. And, if it was 1936, they would have competed to broadcast the Berlin Olympics. And exactly like they the difference between 1936 and when they bid on these Winter Olympics is that it was far more widely known that, as it turns out, China is a police state that imprisons people that joke about its leader. If you're caught comparing him to Winnie the Pooh, you will be in jail. Let's say, for scenario's sake, you're a prominent, world-famous female tennis player. And let's say, for argument's sake, you've been sexually harassed and assaulted and raped by a high official in the Chinese Communist Party. And let's say you blog about it on Weibo in China. It lasts 30 minutes, and then it's taken down, and unless you screenshot it, no one else has it, and you disappear. So welcome to the world of Peng Shuai. And with that in your face, and the Women's Tennis Association, ironically, the Women's Tennis Association having the most balls in this entire scenario and saying, we are canceling tournaments in China. These are tournaments that would have made them hundreds of millions because the Chinese pay to see Chinese athletes kick A. That's why the NBA, that's why. Yao Ming was so huge in China. And that's why the NBA had a turbocharged growth in China, was because the Chinese tuned in and paid to tune in to watch a Chinese Houston Rocket be really, really good at the basketball. Yeah, it's a lot of money. The WTA, as opposed to NBC, the Women's Tennis Association said some things are more important than money. And you know what? I think most Americans would reward NBC. Because here's the other thing that NBC, I don't know why they don't calculate this. Engineer Brady, what was your favorite moment from the Tokyo Summer Olympics earlier this year?
I mean, I didn't get to watch too much of it.
Oh, then you saved a lot of time because there was no favorite moment.
Oh, good. Good.
It was, not only was it, you know, 9 hours off of us, even on the West Coast, so all the good stuff was taped delayed. In this day and age, you're watching the results on your ESPN app. You're getting notifications. If you care, you're like, I'm going to get biathlon, you know, notifications at 3 a.m. Damn it, Norway again. And so NBC, I think at this point, they might be better off giving it up. But they're gonna go on February 3rd. You saw it promoted last night. If you watch Sunday Night Football, it was like a commercial for the Chinese Communist Party. It was the Winter Olympics, Beijing 2022. It's disgusting. And you go back, you think back, well, if I was alive in 1936, I wouldn't have gone to those Summer Olympics in Herr Hitler's Germany. Well, it's going to be 2022. Are you going to tune into a bit of that? Well, CNN, CBS, ABC, they're all going to go at NBC for this because it's getting red hot. You have an athlete who's been silenced because of, you know, communism. All right, back in a second. A bizarre incident shut down I-5 over the weekend. You might have been caught in it around Marysville. And more. Back in a second, right after we check the right-way traffic. Brian Suits in here, 770 KTTH. Always attribute. This is from Fox 13. By the way, 770 KTTH. Brian Suits in here. Northbound I-5 blocked after man dies by suicide on on-ramp. You may have been affected by this on Saturday. Yeah, it was Saturday. So northbound I-5, you know, you've passed all the cool stuff. I'm not saying that Mount Vernon's not cool, or nor is Marysville, but there you are on I-5 coming south, not affected by this, going north affected by this. So what happened was there was a domestic violence complaint on Friday night in the Marysville region. The complaining party gave a description and name of the accused, the male accused, and the car he's driving. So now up there, there's a bolo. There's a be on the lookout. Marysville PD, Sunoco Sheriff, the whole thing. And so was it a Marysville? I guess it doesn't matter what the agency was. Actually, I believe it was Marysville PD. An officer sees the car, and the guy's approaching a northbound on-ramp. He's on a road that has an overpass over I-5, and he's approaching a northbound on-ramp. Marysville police, Saturday, 11 a.m. is what this happened. they see the car. They hit the lights. Guy sees the lights. He floors it, pulls onto the on-ramp. And then very rapidly pulls over. He never gets on I-5. He pulls off on the on-ramp, gets out, and shoots himself. And end of story. Except not the end of the story. Because it was suspected that there... I don't get it, and I'm not going to second guess law enforcement. I wasn't on the scene, you know, the whole deal. But they felt the need to clear the car by calling out SWAT. So they shut northbound, understandable, and southbound down. So everybody is stuck on I-5, and this backup went miles. So if you were involved in that, then this is why, if you didn't catch that. And by the way, text line, 800-465-8770, 800-465-8770. Just curious if you were stuck in that and if you didn't know. I mean, they're not under obligation to tell you, but I'm telling you now, this is what it was. So there was a suspicion that somebody else was in the car, even though according to everything I saw, there, if I'm missing something, Marysville PIO can call in. But according to the PIO, the guy got out in front of the now pursuing officer. The guy gets out of the car, shoots himself. And police note, there was no car pursuit. The officers did not fire the weapons. I-5 was blocked northbound for nearly an hour while authorities investigated the incident. I've lived in very recently jurisdictions where if the same thing happened, you'd call a canine. and you'd send the fur missile in there. If what you're worried about is, and I don't know what suspicion or what information they had. I'm making this clear. I don't have this information. There might be information that they didn't feel was, you know, necessary to release. However, they out of and again, this is our watchword. It's I'm frankly surprised it's not the phrase of the year. Abundance of caution. So they kept I-5 both ways shut down until they could clear the car. Car gets cleared and all that. And obviously, tragic event, the whole thing. And Q13 tags their story with, if you or a loved one is feeling distressed, call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. The Crisis Center provides free. I somehow suspect that the timing was a bit off on this. I don't think the guy was pulling over to get on a suicide prevention lifeline, but again, I don't have those details. By the way, let me just say this now. If you are in the greater law enforcement community of Western Washington, of any county or city jurisdiction, you can email me, and you know that I'm the right chap. And you can email me, darksecretplace@protonmail.com. darksecretplace@protonmail.com. I guarantee your anonymity. If you help me help you, I assume you know not to email me from a .gov, any Seattle City .gov, no issued address. You know that. You're all smart enough to know that. So I would just say many of you know me. You know that I know you, and you know how I am about that stuff. I like the info, and your anonymity is protected by me. It's funny because Jason Rance and I were talking about this, that a friend of mine who had been a Seattle cop long enough to know what was coming, he retired last year prior to the declaration of Chaz. Which, by the way, if you haven't left Seattle since then, you know that Seattle was a laughingstock because of Chaz Chop. And so he was due. He had his full retirement in. He was just, you know, playing out the scene. So he put in for early retirement, got it. So this is how bad it is. He said that you have to make an appointment with the Seattle Police Quartermaster to turn in your issue gear. You know, your riot gear and all that. No one, even Seattle cops don't get to keep their riot gear when they retire. So you have to make an appointment with the quartermaster. You have to, you know, bring everything in that you're accountable for. It has to be inspected, the whole thing. Their stick riot one, helmet riot one, you know, and shield riot one. And you turn all that in. So he said as of about 3 weeks ago, he said that there were several hundred appointments that you could not get in to see the quartermaster department to turn your kit in until they clear several hundred appointments. Now, last night after, and I forgot, you know, it wasn't a bad game. Chiefs Broncos wasn't a bad game, but the Chiefs own the Broncos. I mean, that I should say Mahomes owns the Broncos. Anyway, King 5 did some news after that, and they were promoing some story. They were doing it almost like in a shocking turn of events. Some Seattle police that have put in their resignations are actually staying. So, I mean, that's where you are. And if you haven't heard it, I'm not going to name the company's app, but there's a large broadcast company that has an app. And when you're in the area, if you've done location services and you've told the app where you are, you will get Seattle police recruiting commercials back to back to back. And then you'll get vaccination propaganda, but you'll get Seattle police recruiting commercials on this one company's app if you're in this area. And I mean, really, I started hearing them like north of Portland. I mean, they're all over the place. So they're spending money to get people to come here. So anyway, all right, back in a second. It is Brian Suits here. Don't get used to it. 770 KTTH. Let's check in with your right way traffic.
Sorry, wrong speech.
Nicholas Johnson, I see on the chalkboard behind you, pork chops are on the menu tonight. Enjoy that, and thank you for being with us this morning. And thanks to all of you for getting up way too early with us on this Monday morning. Morning Joe, Donnie Deutsch is here. Starts right now.
Brian.
Oh, hey, sorry, didn't hear the bumper. KTTH 770, Brian sits here and queuing this up. By the way, what'd you play? Didn't you hear the bumper? Was it?
I played some killer music.
Okay. All right. You have free reign on the Killers, Coldplay. And then also, I know I talked up the Robert Plant because I know there's a lot of Zeppelin heads like myself out there here in Seattle. Well, the Northwest, really. But the Robert Plant, Alison Krauss, the new double album is really, really good. And I don't get a piece when you buy it, but I'll play you a clip of it. Well, I was moved, very sad to hear, you know, the passing of Bob Dole at the age of 98. He lived an amazing full life, served this country extraordinarily, and put his body, on the line, and lived most of his life with that pain. You know, and so much to admire from the guy. And I thought to myself, well, in honor of Bob Dole, I really hope this is a simple obit. I hope the media just simply says Bob Dole, American hero. I don't know, maybe we can't have those anymore or whatever. To Biden's credit, he was very quick to come out and say, Bob Dole was an American hero, colleague in the Senate, and a convivial man and the whole thing. And yes, we're going to hear all about, how the way it used to be so much better. Remember, prior to the Civil War, a man got caned in the center. Was it the House? I forgot. But so you can only go up from there, right? Post-Civil War. But yeah, this was a time that, Bob Dole was famous for being a real tough negotiator, a hatchet man. For people who wonder why Wyoming gets two senators or why Rhode Island gets two senators, it's because they are the adults in the room. And so that, ultimately, Bob Dole could come to an agreement with Ted Kennedy or whomever. Right. That's how it always worked. But he was ruthless, just like there's Democrats who are ruthless. And so I thought, well, this is pretty simple. Bob Dole, American hero. I talked to my daughter about it, and I told her about, the World War II thing, the whole thing. Because I'm really, really wary about how today's crop of high school and junior high, teachers are going to deal with it. What I was more concerned with, by the time I was done having my think about this yesterday, was, well, how is liberal media going to paint this? How are they going to screw this up? I mean, there's no way to screw this up. You just take it at face value and you honor the guy. And because I'm a masochist, I subjected myself to Morning Joe because I'm up at 3 a.m. taking the dogs out. There's a number one. There's a number two. Okay, everything's done. You're all empty. We come back in and I roll Morning Joe because I want to see on the East Coast at 6 a.m. on the East Coast. What are they leading with? What are the stories and how are they going to deal with Bob Dole? And then I recall, oh, yeah, it's Morning Joe. They're going to somehow contrast Bob Dole as some paragon of a bygone time when we are all far more civil. They're going to completely forget the way they treated him in 1996. And they're going to compare him to today's awful Republicans. So, anyway, this is how they went. At first, they played a clip because if you didn't know this, Bob Dole was very, very funny. He lost in 1996 when Clinton was reelected, took the oath of office a second time in 97. In pretty short order, they brought Bob Dole to the White House to be awarded the American Medal of Freedom. So Dole is back in the White House getting his second place prize. And talk about gracious loser. Here's Clinton handing him the Medal of Freedom. Here's how Bob Dole, here's his remarks. And then you'll hear Mika Brzezinski, and we'll start the timer.
I, Robert J. Dole.
And by the way, this was January 17th, 1997. This is just days after Clinton was inaugurated for a second time. That's, boy, it's funny. You didn't know.
Do solemnly swear. Oh. Sorry, wrong speech. But I had a dream that I would be here this historic week receiving something from the president. But I thought it would be the front door key.
Okay, good. Good joke. And just to remind you all that this is days after Clinton, took his second oath of office. So he's not at home, kicking the dog and bitter and, with a undershirt, having a Bud Light. He's still a U.S. senator. He's cracking wise about it. I mean, what a graceful guy. And speaking of a graceful, let's see how quickly Mika Brzezinski can turn this against today's horrible crop of Republicans.
Bob Dole receiving the Presidential Medal of Freedom from the man he lost the election to just a couple of months earlier. This morning, we're going to remember the life of the American hero and Republican statesman. But first, the grace of Bob Dole in stark contrast to the extreme members of the current Republican Party.
I put that at 20 seconds, Brady. I forgot to tell you to start the timer when I stopped the Dole. So I stopped the Dole. I started. It took her 20 seconds. 20 seconds at 6 a.m. Actually, it is what time is it? It was 6:01 and 30 seconds on the East Coast, and Mika Scarborough, and by the way, if you're unaware or you don't care, I'm going to tell you this anyway, they've been married for a couple of years. They actually, when they're in the set and it's a split screen, it means they're at home in Florida. So there's that curtain pullback. Anyway, took her all of 10 seconds, rather than sticking on Dole, it has to be, well, yeah, that Tom Cotton has a combat infantryman's badge, too, but he's a Trump scumbag.
A couple of months earlier, this morning, we're going to remember the life of the American hero and Republican statesman. But first, the grace of Bob Dole in stark contrast to the extreme members of the current Republican Party. Over the weekend, we got a sampling from some of the far right's finest.
I can't, she always breaks down. So anyway, that's what happened today. And I mean, I don't know what if a prominent, distinguished Democrat died, would Fox do the same thing and say, in stark comparison to Kamala Harris? I don't know. I'll tell you what, I would criticize them if they did. I just don't sense that they do that kind of thing. But so anyway, Bob Dole, horrifically wounded in World War II. And in the rhythm of World War II, the closing phases in Europe were, by late April, Allied armies were awash in Germany, yet the Germans were still fighting. The Germans were still fighting in Italy, and that's where Bob Dole was wounded in late April, and the horrific rehab. Using the technology of the time and all that, and so I'll tell you a little bit more about what he went through. Also, if you weren't listening earlier, kind of a surprising fun fact about who else he went through rehab with, because they wound up in the Senate as well. Back in a second, Brian Suits filling in. Brian Suits on 770 KTTH. Just don't get used to it. Let's send you off to work with Right Way Traffic.
That 34. 34-
Welcome back, 770 KTTH. Brian sits here, and just a quick reminder that the health minister in Germany said that by the end of this European winter, you will have recovered from COVID, been vaccinated, or have died. And then right before the weekend on Thursday, Governor Jay Inslee copied him, and I just want you to hear him copy the German guy.
4% of the state yet to get their first shot. Getting that population vaccinated is of the utmost importance.
In the next several months, or maybe the next year, you're either going to have had COVID, you're going to have a vaccination, or you're going to be dead.
The German said, or you will have died. You'll be taught. So Inslee didn't want to butch it up that much. But anyway, so there's Mr. Original right there. By the way, I'll give credit where credit's due. The op-ed board of the Seattle Times, the Seattle Times editorial board, has noticed that parts of Seattle are going to hell. In a strongly worded op-ed, Seattle and King County have deserted Little Saigon, and they're calling out somebody to do something because of the shocking revelation that there's open criminality in Little Saigon, 12th Avenue South and South. By the way, how about just all of Jackson? I was taking my daughter to the International District, Wajamaya, frankly. I wouldn't park in an unsecure street parking anywhere on Jackson. But up there in Little Saigon, some favorite restaurants are shutting. For a lot of you, maybe who are looking forward to, let's say, late May, June. And you know, remember when you went to the Mariners game and then you dined at a favorite spot before you inevitably left Seattle because most people who spend money on the Seahawks or the Mariners don't actually live in Seattle, because who would? But you would always hit a favorite place, either before the game or after the game. Well, two of those favorite places, if they were in Little Saigon, are going to be closing soon because it's an open-air market for shoplifted stuff. So if you're looking for bargains, if something is out of stock at Nordstrom, chances are it's at 12th and Jackson. So there's that. So anyway, as I say, Seattle Times, as of December 3rd, 2021, has noticed that something may be amiss in Seattle. So Bob Dole, just to give it some scale, I have a friend, and Kennedy, she and I started in this building in talk radio. As fate would have it, years later, we did a radio show called Kennedy in Suits. It was a great show. But she, in 96, when she was on MTV, she campaigned for Bob Dole quite a bit. And they got to be friends. And so when we worked together, for some reason, Bob Dole and his wife, Libby, were coming to L.A. For some, I should remember, but I don't. Not the point of the story. And we met for a quick dinner. And so I got to actually talk to him very specifically, kind of soldier to soldier, going back to April of 1945. And, you know, to set up the scene, to give you the background, there was a war. The Germans helped defend Italy with the Italians. The Italians didn't really take much to change sides, just an invasion or two by the Allies, at which point the Germans occupied Italy. And where's your alliance now? And so the fight up the boot of Italy was ugly. It was brutal, muddy, terrible. But by April of 1945, everybody knew the war was over except the Germans. And the Germans in Italy were still fighting like devils. And so I had asked him, you know, knowing what you know now, was the offensive that you were sent on that ultimately, you know, was the cause of his most grievous wound, you know, was it worth it? And he said, did you ever ask if, you know, day to day to day when you were a soldier, what you did was worth it? And I said, yeah, frankly, no. And I was just happy for the free ammo. And so I thought that was very sanguine of him. And I grew up where I grew up on Pulamani Street in Hawaii before we moved to Port Angeles. All my neighbors were were Hawaiian Japanese veterans of the original 100th Infantry Battalion, and many of them were badly wounded, and they were like, "No, you know, I'm proud of my limp and all that." It was, you know, it was eye opening. So anyway, he was a young lieutenant thrown at the 10th Mountain Division. By that point, every division needed lieutenants. He was a newbie. He had actually been with his platoon for a while. He had outplayed the odds, and was, you could say, by April of 1945, he was playing with house money, being a infantry officer, an infantry platoon leader. And in this assault in mid-April, and again, you know, remember, Hitler is 2 weeks away from the world's worst honeymoon, and he's going to cap himself, right after his nuptials. But yet the Germans are still fighting. So in this particular day, on this particular part of the assault, his radioman was hit, and a radioman is a platoon leader's right hand, especially in World War II. It's not like today. You know, radios literally had tubes, you know, hardened tubes and all that. And so he's dragging his RTO, as they say, his radioman out of the line of fire, and then he's hit. He said he felt a sting in his leg and all this. And then he was hit in the square of his back, and he doesn't know. And they, when they remove the shrapnel, they don't make a note and say, "Oh, by the way, it was a mortar or whatever." He has no idea, but the injury that caused his right arm, you know, to wither and not be recoverable was to his spine. And this is a guy who was an athlete at Kansas, played basketball at Kansas, you know, a big strapping 6'2" guy. And now suddenly he can't walk, and he's in a body cast that goes from his chin to his abdomen, paralyzing him. He's trying to move his toes. War's over in Europe. He's moved back to the U.S. By the time his mom and dad were able to see him, they hadn't changed his body cast, and he described it as smelling like a shoe that you've worn for 6 months in the summer. And, you know, and keep in mind, there's hundreds of thousands of wounded that are making their way back from the Pacific and Europe and the whole thing. So he goes to the final rehab center, the place where he began working on using his legs and all that. He met two other guys that were wounded on the right side. And they talked about, you know, what do you want to do in the future and all this? And he said, I want to run for Congress. I'm going to go to law school. And he told one of the guys, you know, you should do it, too. You're a leader. You have this war record, you know, and you're a good guy. That guy was Daniel Inouye from the Nisei Regiment, the 442nd Regimental Combat Team. The other guy was Phil Hart, also future U.S. Senator. All right. I'll be back tomorrow. Brian Suits out, 770 KTTH.